So tax day came and went more than a week ago, probably close to 2 weeks ago by the time you're listening to this. But man, I'm still just a little bit frustrated about it, as I always am this time of year. And I know we talked about this topic, talked about the federal tax code on last week's program, but I think it's just something. But there's another issue here that has been getting some attention this year, this April 15th tax season. And I think it's worth taking some time to talk about today. So that's what we're going to do. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. No guest for me today. Instead, we're going to take a look at what I call the real tax gap. And I have a piece at Reason.com from about a week ago looking at this exact topic, the real tax gap. Now in tax policy circles, the phrase tax gap is used to talk about the difference between how much money the IRS thinks it should collect in a given year and how much it actually does. And there's always a little bit of a difference there because of, you know, some people either cheat and don't pay their taxes, some people just underpay their taxes, often through no fault of their own. There's always a little bit of a gap, and the IRS spends a lot of time thinking about how to close the tax gap, how to make sure that they get more of the revenue that they are supposed to get. And this is an issue of tax fairness, and okay, sure, everybody should pay the taxes that are owed, but not a cent more. But I think that's somewhat of a misnomer, because the real tax gap in America is the difference between what Americans think about the tax code. I should say who Americans think are paying federal taxes and who actually is. And that persistent gap between what Americans think, including, by the way, the American who currently occupies the White House, the gap between what those people think about the federal tax code and the reality of who shoulders most of the burden is an actual problem when it comes to policymaking, because it muddles the debate over how to address chronic budget deficits, how to best manage the insolvency of programs like Social Security and Medicare. More generally, it contributes, I think, to a phony sense of class warfare that boosts populist politicians, mostly on the left, but a little bit on the right, too. And President Joe Biden, who historically has been more of a centrist, he's leaned harder into this message, into trying to promote this false message about who pays most of the federal tax burden since he's become president. A common refrain in Biden's speeches has been this claim that American billionaires pay an average tax rate of just 8%. He said it in the State of the Union address, and he says it in many of his stump speeches. It's a claim that the Washington Post actually thoroughly debunked earlier this year. You should look up that piece by Glenn Kessler for sure. But there's also more generic claims, like another promise that Biden made in last month's State of the Union address when he said that he would protect and strengthen Social Security by making the wealthy pay their fair share. Now, polls bear out a similar point of view among the rest of us. A recent Morning Consult and Bloomberg poll of voters in seven swing states found that 69% of people support raising taxes on Americans who earn more than $400,000 annually. Meanwhile, there was a similar poll from the Pew Research Center conducted last year that found 82% of Americans are bothered some or a lot by the feeling that the wealthy are not paying their fair share in federal taxes. The feeling, I mean, not that they actually know, they just feel like that's the case. Now, other surveys show that many Americans don't actually know much about the tax code at all. There was a really interesting survey conducted this year by the Tax Foundation that found that most Americans are not just unhappy with the current tax code, but do not understand it. One commonly misunderstood aspect is how much the wealthiest Americans pay every year. In this Tax Foundation survey, 78% of respondents did not know the share of taxes that are paid by the wealthiest 1% of Americans. But, and I think this is particularly telling, 65% of respondents said their own taxes were too high. So the most straightforward conclusion here is hardly a surprising one. Americans want somebody else, preferably somebody richer, to pay for the cost of the government services that we consume. And here's the good news, I guess. That's already happening. The top 1% of earners, defined as those people who make incomes of more than $682,000 annually, paid 46% of all income taxes in 2021, which is the most recent year that we have complete data for. Now, that's according to some data that was crunched by the National Taxpayers Union Foundation and released last month. Now, that number, again, it's worth repeating. The top 1% of earners paid 46% of all federal income taxes in 2021. And that is the highest percentage of taxes paid by the top 1% in any year since at least 1980. That's as far back as the National Taxpayers Union Foundation survey went. Other wealthier Americans are also contributing heavily. The top 10% of earners bore responsibility for 76% of all income taxes paid, and the top 25% paid 89% of all income taxes, again, according to the NTUF report. Meanwhile, the bottom 50% of taxpayers, the bottom half, paid just 2.3%. of all federal income taxes in 2021. The gap between the perception and reality of how the federal tax code works and who pays for it has important implications for some big decisions that federal policymakers will have to make in the near future. The first of those big decisions will hit next year when many of the provisions of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire. Among other things, Congress and the winner of this year's presidential election will have to decide whether to let the personal income tax rates climb back to where they were before the Trump tax cuts in 2017. There's also, of course, the looming question of Social Security's insolvency and how to deal with that. Tax increases will probably be part of that solution at some point. And, you know, none of these decisions will be free from painful trade-offs. But without a better understanding of the burdens of the current tax code, many Americans will be unable to appreciate those trade-offs. And demagoguery about taxing the rich might produce a political payoff in the short term, but it's created a political culture that's less well-equipped to tackle some of these serious questions about fiscal policy and about who should be paying what to cover the annual cost of our $7 trillion federal government. The wealthy are already paying record levels of federal taxes. How much more will be enough? For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. You can check out more of our coverage of fiscal policy and everything else happening in politics in D.C. and around the country this week at Reason.com. And catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.